I have really exciting news.
What do you got?
Okay. I made soup for the first time.
Did you?
I'm doing like a healthy eating thing right now. Gotta shed some pounds. And I made this spicy squash and carrot soup.
That sounds good.
And it was delicious.
You didn't make me any, friend.
Hey, you know what? Welcome to Haunted By.
Hi, Janice.
Hi, Jess.
How are you going? How's it going?
I'll make you soup another time.
Someday. You've upset me so much.
I had to have practice soup. I couldn't feed you bad soup.
That is true.
That's not what you do to a friend.
That's
you
true.
Serve a friend good soup.
Good soup.
Like Adam Driver.
Good soup.
And girl. Is it girls that
girls,
he does that
yeah.
in? I've never seen girls.
I know.
But I have seen good soup.
Good soup.
That's not true. I saw the first scene of girls and I thought, I think I hate her. And then I never went back.
So I'm going to say you will hate all of them, but I think you're supposed to.
Yes.
And Adam Driver makes it.
But I deal with enough people on just a general daily basis that I hate that I don't want to watch people that I hate on TV in
That's
my
fair.
Happy time.
That's fair.
Like, I just can't watch people that I don't like.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've chosen not to.
Okay.
Hmm. Did you watch all of it?
I did. Mm. I've rewatched too.
Does anybody die in it?
Probably.
I wonder.
I could look that up for you.
Yeah, that would be great. Because then maybe we'll talk about it on the podcast.
Maybe.
At another time. Maybe it'll be in one of our shocking deaths. We'll give you a spoiler alert when we get there, maybe.
I know. Now you got me thinking.
Doesn't seem like a show where people would die. But you know what? Mm. Neither was Dawson's Creek. And
oh, my
They got
God.
A few people.
Can we not do that right now?
We should talk about that another time.
We should, though.
Oh, That's Dawson's true. Creek. I've started Dawson's Creek rewatch. Does
That's a good one.
Not disappoint.
I'm going to sidetrack real quick, and then we'll pick this right back up.
Sidetrack from Dawson's Creek? Was that on track?
What's her name in real life? Katie Holmes and
help
me.
Oh,
they're all out of my
Joshua
head.
Jackson.
Are they making a movie?
They sure are.
Okay.
She
so I was like, either
wrote,
they're doing Dawson's Creek movie or they're doing.
No, she wrote and directed it. And it's like a love story about like two people who are like finding each other again.
Oh.
I'm all for it.
Good cast.
I'm already ready to watch it twice.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic.
Thank you for answering that for me.
Hey, you're welcome. And you know what? I don't think that was a sidetrack at all because I don't think we had a plan of attack at all.
You are correct.
So should I just launch into a pop culture moment that's been on my mind that I've been thinking about lately?
Please do.
Okay. So I'm going to do the one from our Lost episode one because I just had so many thoughts and feelings about it and no one's ever going to hear it. And I wanted to talk to you about snacks that disappeared.
Yeah.
That made me really sad.
Specifically and, from the 90s?
I think they're from the early... Yeah. Most of them, I believe, are from the 90s.
Okay.
But I think some of them might be like 90s, early 2000s. But one of my favorites was 3D Doritos.
Nope. I didn't like them.
Why?
Just the flavor of them. They just weren't Doritos.
Well, no, because they were 3D Doritos.
I understand.
They were like, if you want regular nacho cheese, go over there. But if you want a 3D flavor.
I don't know.
Oh,
the chip was obviously different. I
loved them. But then if you also want to go with like something that wasn't that great, but everybody drank it, was Crystal Pepsi. I don't think I liked that at all, but did I get really excited to drink it? Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. And there was Blue Pepsi. Yeah.
I never had Blue Pepsi.
They did that, too. I don't think I did either, to be honest. But I remember it.
But I also think it's very funny because it's like, hey, everybody, you want to have some clear Pepsi? And you're like, how did they make it? And you're like, well, they make Sprite.
Yeah, but so, it tasted like Pepsi.
It did taste like Pepsi.
How did they do that?
So, and I think that's probably why I didn't really like it, because I'm not like a regular Pepsi person.
I was as a child.
Yeah, I prefer the diets. Like, throw in some aspartame. Delicious.
What do they call Diet Cokes nowadays?
I don't know.
Aren't they called like, oh God. Aren't they like called like fridge cigarettes or something?
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
But that makes sense.
Because everyone's like jonesing for Diet Coke lately. It's just like, oh, just one.
It's so bad for you. In high school, I would drink 3 to 4 Diet Cokes a day.
Oh my God. I mean, I did drink a lot of Pepsi.
Yeah, I was all jacked. Cool, because I didn't drink coffee.
Yeah.
And so there used to be this food truck outside my high school.
Oh, and Fancy McGee. Yeah, okay.
Sorry, guys. And this guy, Jimmy, worked at the food truck, and he would sometimes save me a Diet Coke when I came in late. Jimmy, everybody loved Jimmy.
Okay.
No. Everybody loved Jimmy. Like, Jimmy was like, if we could have a mascot for our school, it would
it
be
was
him.
Jimmy? Okay.
He was so funny. He was like this big Boston guy. He was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he'd be like, Janice, I got this Diet Coke for you. And I was like,
got
thank
this
you
Diet
so
Coke
much.
For you, kid.
And
so sweet.
I don't drink Diet Coke anymore because it's so bad for you.
Listen, after a night, a Diet Coke in the morning.
It has to be a treat. And there's nothing like a fountain Diet Coke.
Oh my God. I had
it's
one.
It's like, ugh.
Immediately after my cousin's wedding, we went out for lunch. And I was like, if I don't get a Diet Coke right now,
you're just going to die.
The best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Diet Coke was amazing. But one other snack that, you know, I was thinking about too, that I don't know if it's gone, but I used to have it all the time, was bubble tape.
Yeah.
Which was like, the slogan was 6 feet of bubble gum for you, not them.
I can't believe you remember.
Of course I do. I got the grape flavor
That's
bubble
bananas.
Tape.
Bananas.
Why, the grape flavor?
Grape?
Great. You don't know what you're missing.
No,
and you'll,
I do.
You never will.
Girl.
I actually don't know if it's still around, but.
It probably is.
Probably.
Zebra Stripe is still around, and that gum is
that
shit.
Was gross.
Yeah.
But I had to stop having gum for a long time. Even as much as I loved bubble tape, I couldn't have it because I swallow gum.
You're not supposed to do that.
No. It's very bad for you.
I think it's all a myth. But
one can hope it's out of my stomach by now. It took a long time, but I would like go through like a whole thing of bubble tape gum. And by the end, I had swallowed the whole thing.
Hold on. Whoa. You would do this in one sitting.
No. I'd say probably a week's time.
Okay, that's a little better.
6 feet of bubble gum, 1 week.
Well, I say that because, especially Zebra Stripe gum, you ate the whole pack when you bought it. Like
yes, because that's because it lost trash. Flavor in like 2 seconds.
Do you remember the gum that came in like the Band-Aid tin?
That gum was so... Well, I think it was called Ouch Gum.
Ouch
or
Gum.
Or something like
that.
That
tasted good, I remember.
Ouch was really good.
Yeah, that was a
good
one.
So another little snack treat, and this is still around, but someone was talking about this randomly the other day. They were talking about how they loved banana runts. And I was like, you're a horrible person. Sorry to any banana runts people out there.
I don't like banana flavored things.
No, and especially not banana runts. Like,
were those hard candy things?
Yeah, and they were like a Willy Wonka candy.
Yeah.
And they had like lime, I think, cherry, and grape.
Oh yes, and they're in a box.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes a bag, depending on where you purchased.
I don't know.
But
don't know
you always left the bananas, and then or if you had like. If you were lucky enough to have a real weird kid in class, they would be like, are you going to eat those bananas?
You know what's really weird that we used to do? Because we had a corner store next to my middle school. We used to buy the, were they Lucerin cough drops? The cherry cough drops that tasted like candy?
Those were delicious.
Those, and we would pop them all day long.
Yeah.
Probably way bad for you.
Yeah,
but
you probably just had a real smooth
God,
throat.
They tasted so good.
They tasted so good. Except when you were actually sick, they did nothing.
No, they were they were pretty much candy.
Right, they were candy. Yeah. And then when you're actually sick, you'd have them. And then your mom would be like, no, you have to have like
Halls.
A Ricola or a Halls. And you're like, but this is old people stuff.
That's burned. That stuff burned.
It was terrible, but it would make you feel better.
Yeah.
Then you get some Vicks vapor rub. I know. It's just gross. So, yeah, there's. I'm sure I'll bring it up again later, but there are some snack foods that I miss, and how do we get them back? Who do I email at Doritos to say, bring me back some 3D Doritos?
They probably will. I feel like that would be like a cool thing, though.
There's a lot of nostalgia coming back. Okay, exactly. So I'll just wait.
That was a really big swallow into the microphone. I apologize to everyone if that stays in the episode.
I don't think I heard it. So I feel fine.
Great.
Was it a big swallow because you're nervous to do your pop culture moment?
No.
Well, let's launch into
it. I'm fired up about mine. Yeah.
Oh, tell me.
We need some breaking news music, John, by the way.
We
got something on Annabelle, kids.
Wait, and then you do, we do Morse code.
Yeah.
That was Morse code.
Did everyone understand that?
Yeah. If I had been on the Titanic, we would have survived.
Hot take. Who knows where this story will go from here when this episode comes out, but Matt Rife.
Oh, Matthew.
Bought the Conjuring House and all of the hauntings from Ed and Lorraine Warren's museum.
I don't know why.
I really don't have much to say. When I saw that TikTok, I was like, no. This is no. And then I saw it again, and then you guys sent it to me, and I was like, well, okay.
I thought it was fake. I did too.
I don't know. It's very bizarre to me. He said he's all about haunted stuff. I don't know.
Has he ever talked about haunted stuff in like any of his stand-up comedy?
I don't think so, but I don't watch him.
Maybe he can't make haunted things funny like we can.
Maybe. Yeah. It's just out of left field for me, for most people, I think.
Yeah.
You sent me a video of Snooki freaking out.
Snooki was like, what are you doing?
What is happening? I know a lot of people don't like Ed and Lorraine Warren, don't believe the Annabelle, blah, blah, blah. I understand. You don't have to get everything or believe in everything. I totally, totally get it.
Right.
But this news is weird regardless.
It's weird.
It's just a weird choice. I don't know.
What's the end goal?
I don't know. And he's like going to own it for like 5 years, I think he said.
I thought he was going to own the house however long, but he has like a contract for all the haunted possessions for 5 years. But I could be wrong about that.
Wait, say that again?
Like he'll own the house.
Yeah.
But like Annabelle and all the things in it.
Yes.
Like he'll only be in charge of those for 5 years.
I think, well, because he's saying like, come to the house. You can tour the house again because the woman or whoever owned it kind of... off the deep end, I think. I don't know. Sorry. Well,
did Annabelle do it, Matthew?
I don't know. Listen, we believe in Annabelle here at this podcast. So good luck.
Enough to say, Annabelle, we hope you're okay with your new landlord.
Landlord?
We support it if you do.
We'll find out if you don't. Like I said, things could change by the time this comes out. So that's all I got.
He's made some choices.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well.
Hunger Games salute to you, my friend.
May the odds be ever in your favor. Well.
That's about it.
Let's just get into your spooky story then, shall we?
All right. So I'm doing the Curse of the Poltergeist movies.
Amazing.
Yeah, I thought it'd go a little different.
Yes, I like it. Something spooky, different.
Spooky and different.
Yeah.
So the first Poltergeist came out in 1982, written by Steven Spielberg. The director of this was Tobe Hooper, who directed E.T. and Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh.
Which I was like, that makes some sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
Texas Chainsaw's a different vibe.
Sure is. Well, Poltergeist is spooky, but Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah. More blood.
That movie messed me up. Cast is Heather O'Rourke, Joe Beth Williams, Dominique Dunn, Zelda Rubinstein, Craig T. Nelson, and Oliver Robbins. So there were a lot of freak accidents, deaths, and acts of violence off camera, leading to believe that the movie was cursed. During production of the first movie, they wanted to write a poltergeist book to go along with it, because, what? Sure. So there is, oh, sorry, I have to jump over here. Author James Caan, who was writing the book, said that he was with a typist in Spielberg's office. He said that they were writing the sentence, "Thunder and lightning ripped through the sky." And just as he was telling her to write that, there was an intense blast of lightning and thunder that really happened. The face of the air conditioner unit popped off, hit him in the back.
Oh, wow.
And all the lights flickered and went out. Ooh. And after a couple minutes, lights came back on and all the video games in Spielberg's office started playing themselves.
If and that they happened, went, I'd be like, am I God?
I think I'd be freaking out writing the poltergeist book.
Come see what happens when I write the words down on this paper.
And I got $1 million.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Money, please.
Money, please. There is a scene in the movie with a clown.
Oh, it's a terrifying scene.
I hate clowns.
Mm-hmm, you'll hate this
one. Don't know if you know this about me.
I did.
Don't think they're funny, entertaining. Don't want to look at them. If I see one, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
So it freaked me out in general, but finding this out, that the animatronic clown malfunctioned during the scene and basically strangled Oliver Robbins.
Oh my God.
And they had to like rip the thing off of him.
Well, he definitely seems scared in that scene. Yeah. So, I mean, if you've had a brush with death with the mechanical clown, that'll do it.
That's probably top three clown that's made me terrified of clowns.
Oh, I'd like to talk to you about the other two
someday.
I can
quickly tell you right now.
Yes, I'm ready.
Stephen King's It.
Okay.
I walked into the living room. My parents are watching it and Tim Curry's face was the whole screen and I lost it.
He can be scary.
And weirdly enough, on Sesame Street, there was this clown.
Okay.
Who in the scene, I think it was trying to be like, look, we're not scary.
Mm-hmm.
He took, it went in reverse. So his makeup was going in reverse. Like really fast.
Oh.
So he was a fully faced clown. And he was like, I'm just a person. And so they like went backwards and he started removing everything.
Oh.
Terrifying.
I don't think I like that at all. I don't remember seeing any of that. Clowns are definitely freaky. I don't find them particularly scary, but I know a lot of people get freaked out. What did you think about the more current It?
I was okay.
With the Skarsgård. Yeah. Which Skarsgård?
Don't do that to me. Why are you doing that to me?
I know, I'm sorry. I feel like I should know. But
it's not Alexander's the older brother.
No, he's from True Blood. He's Eric.
Oh, give it to me because it's on the tip of my tongue.
I know. You keep going and I'll find
it. No, I need to know.
Yeah.
All right, Dominic Dunn's career.
Oh, Bill.
Thank you.
Bill Skarsgård for John for the win.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you, John.
Dominic Dunn, who played the older daughter in the film, was 21, playing 16.
Okay, yeah.
Her career was just beginning to take off. The movie came out. People loved her. She was gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
She was set to appear on an upcoming TV show called V.
Okay.
And her personal life was moving forward as well because she was starting to date John Sweeney, a chef. Unfortunately, he was not a good partner.
Oh, no.
I will say there's a trigger warning here for abuse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sweeney was known to have a violent temper, and at one point, he even attacked a fan who approached Dominique to compliment her on her role in Poltergeist. His abusive behavior escalated. He beat her, choked her, slammed her head against the floor. Realizing she was in danger, Dominique made the brave decision to distance herself from him.
Yeah.
So on Halloween, she was at her house, and Sweeney decided to carve a chocolate mask in her likeness.
Oh my God.
And brought it to her house.
No thank you, super busy.
Yeah, gotta go. At the time, Dominique was rehearsing with a male co-star, and when Sweeney arrived, he asked to come inside, but she refused. They spoke outside while her co-star stayed inside. I'll say this and then we can talk about it. So he tried to drown out the arguing by turning up the music.
Oh my God.
If you know your, maybe he didn't, I don't know. But if you know that your scene partner, friend, coworker has an abusive partner and they're fighting on her front doorstep.
Yeah, you listen. You're not listening to eavesdrop on whatever their problems are. You're listening to see if it escalates. And if you don't think you can take care of it on your own, you listen to see when you can call the cops.
Exactly. So he didn't do anything. And then that point he heard her scream. So her co-star called a friend, left a voicemail that night and said, "If I die tonight, it's John Sweeney." So he covered his butt.
Oh my God.
And was like, "Hey, just in case," before going out to check on her.
Oh my God. So had he not left the voicemail,
so
he could have stopped. Well, I don't know what happened. Yeah. But.
So he never went outside to help. Dominique was pulled to the side of her, dragged to the side of her house by Sweeney, and he was strangling her. She was rushed to the hospital and was in a coma. And on November 4th, 1982, at the age of 22, she passed away.
That's so sad.
Yep.
Ugh.
I just can't think that guy must be like.
I can't imagine.
I assume he called the cops eventually, but I think his first stop was to call and be like, "Hey, if I die."
I don't know if people used to call the cops because
911
wasn't always a thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that's really weird to think about, right? Like, if you see something bad, you pick up the phone, you call 911 right now, but you used
dispatched.
To have to have the number
yeah.
of the local area. Police yeah, department. Yeah. And then I guess if they picked up,
yeah,
then they would send somebody. But I think this came out in the early 80s.
82.
And I think that began, like, that was when 911 was becoming more popular. It was definitely a thing sooner.
Yeah.
But not something that everybody knew
like
to
quick.
Do.
Yeah. It's tough. Heather O'Rourke, who was the little girl, she was appeared in all three Poltergeist movies. So she mm-hmm. was like basically became the face. Like everyone
right.
knows the little blonde girl on the in the TV. Mm-hmm. Like on the TV.
First, I think the first one she's like, "They're here." And then the second one she's like, "They're back."
Yeah.
Nailed it.
You crushed it.
Thank you.
After the second film, however, she began to experience some health issues.
Oh.
In 1987, she fell ill with a parasitic infection, likely contracted by well water.
Oh, but my
unfortunately,
God.
Unfortunately, her doctors misdiagnosed her with Crohn's disease and began treating her with cortisone injections, which caused her to noticeably swell. So you do kind of notice in the second movie, because she's sick. But
yeah.
you can kind of see her face is swollen.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah. She's like 5 in the first movie, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
And then the second movie, she's 7. And then January 1988, Heather became violently ill and collapsed at home. She was rushed to the hospital where she suffered cardiac arrest.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And how old was she then?
7. Doctors performed emergency surgery and discovered that she had an undiagnosed intestinal stenosis?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say it? A rare congenital condition. After surgery, she suffered a second cardiac arrest.
Oh, my God.
And despite more than 30 minutes of attempting resuscitation, Heather tragically passed away on February 1st, 1988.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Official cause of death was ruled as septic shock and cardiac arrest because they misdiagnosed her.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's
I guess
crazy.
The 80s of it all. I don't know.
So I think they just looked at you and they were like,
probably this.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Unless it was like popping up. They're like, chicken pox. Yeah. Nailed it, everybody.
And she just loved to work. She loved being in the movies. Like the,
yeah.
I watched the Eat True Hollywood story
okay.
on this. And the mom in the movie was like, every time I was scared or she'd be scared. And every time I cried, she'd cry. So after like they cut, she'd be like, I'm just acting. And she was like, yeah, me too. And she was like, oh, okay, sorry. Which I loved.
Getting schooled
she's
by
like,
a young
yeah,
child.
Yeah, got it.
She's like, it's called acting, you amateur.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Oh, that's so sad though.
I know.
Like all,
she could have been.
Well, I mean, think about it with both of them. All she needed was the right diagnosis and all... Dominique Dunn needed was maybe for that guy to go outside.
To go outside. Yeah. The movie crew didn't believe in the curse, so they continued mm-hmm. making Poltergeist 2.
Mm.
Steven Spielberg did not come back, however, which was
okay.
probably the good move.
Yeah.
But the cast came back for the second film, which, interesting. They sent Dominique's character to college, quote unquote, which is just really sad.
Yeah.
Brian Gibson was the director, and he brought on a psychic advisor, Jill Cook.
Okay.
So he was working with Jill privately, and she was like, you're going to make a movie. And he was like, wow. And then she he got Poltergeist too, and he was like, you're coming with me. She was like, fantastic. So
she's like, I don't have another job.
Yeah.
Let's go.
She's helped to rewrite the ending of the movie because I guess the ending of the movie, they were hitting the poltergeist with a baseball bat. She was like, that's not how you kill them. They were like, you're right, Jill.
Yeah.
So she fixed the ending of the movie. Okay. And she also hired two actors because of their vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Julian Beck and William Sampson. So Julian Beck, who played the villain in the film, came into the film already ill. He had stomach cancer.
Oh.
But he wanted to play the role, and this is a quote from the E! True Hollywood Story. The director said that Julian said it was to rid him of certain things, and in playing the role of the epitome of evil and death, that it would give him some courage. So him playing evil and death and all that, he said that was giving him courage to cross over.
Sure. Giving him like ownership.
I think so.
Yeah.
His illness made him look so drawn out and kind of creepy looking, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show you a picture. He's not made up. That's just how he looked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's bad. But he's really good. I watched the scene this morning and I was like, he's great. Yeah,
we can post that picture on our Instagram too.
He was like a theater actor.
Yeah.
And I think his wife and him started like a theater troupe. So, okay. But yeah, that's super sad. And he died shortly after the movie was finished on mm-hmm. September 14th, 1985. So then the Poltergeist 2, there was a Native American shaman role for the movie
mm-hmm.
and it went to Will Sampson. Like I said, the psychic approved his energy, and Will Sampson is actually a real life shaman. So he did a lot of blessings on the set, which helped for a bit,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
until it didn't.
Yeah.
There's a scene where a monster has to come out of Craig T. Nelson's mouth, and it took forever for them to shoot it. It took a toll on him. He was exhausted. He was like not having it. The next day they found out that they didn't get the shot. So he had to do it all over again.
Oh God. Okay.
And he was like sick about it. He was like, it was making me ill. And like, just the exhaustion of this whole movie.
And then the ghosts on the set were like, hey, screw you.
Yeah. We've messed with the film. Yeah.
Oh, did you need this film?
Whoops. Delete. Not back then, but the MGM soundstage used for the final scene was a massive cavern-like set, but it turned out to be a nightmare to work on. It was dangerous, unpredictable. People were getting hurt. Others were getting sick. Strange electrical issues kept happening. And in one instance, footage of that day that had been recorded came back completely black.
Oh, yeah.
So again, the film was like rolling, but it was all black.
Right. Which there's no reason that should have been.
No. So with all that chaos, the crew began to worry that they wouldn't be able to finish the movie because this final scene is making people sick. Mm-hmm. It's daunting. It was small. It's intense. It's not even being filmed. Mm-hmm. So these people are like toast. They're done. That's when actor Will Sampson stepped in. He said there was a spirits on the set and they were pissed.
Oh.
And he said it was connected to the skeletons that they were using in the scene.
Oh, God.
Turns out the skeletons were real human remains.
Oh, my God. Wait, in the second one?
I think they were recycled from the first movie.
Because they used real skeletons in the first movie,
too. They didn't know that.
We haven't learned our lesson.
They didn't know.
Who didn't know?
The crew, the producers, the directors.
Oh my God.
No one knew until he came in and was like, those.
No.
And then they found out. So this was a massive shock for the crew. And the producers admitted that when they ordered props for the set, they hadn't known exactly where they were coming from. So they were just like, hey, we need skeletons and cadavers and whatever. And
they're like, we'll get it for you from the first Poltergeist.
How's the hospital sound? Like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, so later they discovered they were authentic, genuine
crazy
people.
I'll tell you what, after I die, don't be using my bones for a movie.
Yeah. No one was happy about this.
No.
They were shocked. I can't even. I'd be like, I'm good. Goodbye. Yeah.
Especially for a sequel. Don't use my bones for a sequel.
Well, you were in two movies then because they use them again.
Yeah, just for the first. If you're going to use my bones, only the first film.
I want to be in the franchise.
It depends on the franchise.
Yeah, true.
If it's the Scream franchise, which you know I love, put me in all of those. The Poltergeist one didn't do great. Only the first one really thrived.
Yeah.
And now we know why.
Well, yeah. I don't think I watched the third one.
I only watched the first one.
I watched the second one. Actor Craig T. Nelson was not happy. Mm-mm. He was visibly sweating, saying there was weird energy on set and that he couldn't keep working under these conditions, and he requested an exorcism. He was like, we're done. Yeah. He was like, I'm not coming back. So that night, Will Sampson was like, leave the soundstage door open.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be back. So he went back, performed a blessing and an exorcism, and after that, everything calmed down.
Oh, okay.
And Will Sampson also passed away on June 3rd, 1987. He died from complications during a heart and lung transplant.
Oh, no.
And I'll show you him because he's very familiar. Mm-hmm. He's in another movie. When I saw him pop up, I was like, oh, yeah. He seemed very sweet.
Oh.
He just looks like a really nice man.
Yeah.
During production of Poltergeist 3, because why not? Keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
Only Heather O'Rourke and Zelda return. So Zelda's the one, she's like the little woman.
Yeah.
She does the exorcisms or something this in the movie.
She's like, I can't even do her voice. Yeah. She's like, this house is clean.
Yeah.
And she's in Teen Witch. Great movie.
Yes. So Zelda ended up leaving the production because her mother died.
Will Sampson's in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Thank you. Yes. I was like, there's another big movie. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So Zelda ended up leaving because her mom died.
Mm-hmm.
There was promo pics they were taking for the movie. And one of them, they were like a strip of like pictures. And the last picture was like blurred and had white smoke over her face. And that was taken the day her mom died.
Oh, weird.
Mm-hmm. And Zelda said too, she was like, I just had a feeling. And she was like, something is happening. Mm-hmm. And then she found out her mom passed away.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's bizarre.
Yeah. So I do want to end with this.
Okay.
I'm very aware that what happened to Dominique, Heather, Julian, Will were real life tragedies involving illness and abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And these were heartbreaking and deeply human experiences.
Mm-hmm.
While I don't believe these traumas occurred because of the so-called movie curse, mm-hmm. I do believe that there was plenty of strange and unsettling things that happened on the set. Coincidences are hard to ignore, but mm-hmm. especially when paired with the film's eerie energy and use of real skeletons.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to end it.
Yeah, I just wanted people to know that I'm not this only happened because they made this movie.
You're not blaming what happened to any of them on the movie.
Yeah.
But it is an interesting coincidence that so many people who were in these movies had like really tragic ends.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I was like hesitant to write this, because I was like, I really wanted to, but I was like, if an abusive partner, that's a big, you know, that's tough. Mm-hmm. And a little girl dying from a misdiagnosis. And it's just, so I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But what happened on the set is kind of crazy.
The set stuff is really interesting, and it's wild that in two of the movies they used real skeletons.
And no one knew.
It's like, what's the epitome of not learning your lesson? Oh, let me talk to you about Poltergeist.
Yeah. Also, I wonder, they had to have saved them somewhere.
They probably saved them in a box called Poltergeist 1.
But then in the box labeled Poltergeist 1. Yeah.
And then when they requested it for 2, they went, I bet they want these same ones.
Yeah. Real.
Except it's interesting because in the first one, the mom, when she ends up in the pool.
Yes.
Like I found out later that actress was furious.
Yeah.
That she had been in the pool with like real skeletons.
Yeah. And she said too, she was like, she had a fear of electronics and water, which might make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And there was these huge lights and stuff around the pool. So she said that Steven Spielberg stood in the water. Like off camera and was like, if you go down, I go down.
Oh.
So that's what made her like continue the scene.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love Steven Sweet Spielberg. Guy.
That's it. That's all I got. What's your movie death this week, Janice?
Okay. So I'm going to bring us back up.
Okay.
We're going to have a little joking time. We're going to have a real good time. My movie death is from the movie Drop Dead Gorgeous.
I hear that accent coming.
So I love to talk in the Drop Dead Gorgeous accent.
This is how we became friends.
This is how we became friends because we were like, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Our boss hated us at the time.
Oh, sure. For sure. So if you haven't seen Drop Dead Gorgeous, it came out in 1999. So there's going to be a spoiler.
If you haven't seen it.
If you haven't seen it, you won't be able to watch it anywhere either because you can't find it. You can't find it anywhere. It's streaming nowhere, and I regret I never purchased it on DVD.
I had it, but got rid of it because
you were like, didn't need it. The future. So I'll take a break from the Minnesota accent.
A lot of quotes coming our way, I'm sure.
But it's just one of those movies where, like, so people keep dying. There's a beauty pageant. People keep dying. Yeah. And it's so funny because it's just this ridiculous mockumentary about the Mount Rose
American teen princess
pageant. And this movie has a star-studded cast.
It really does.
It has Kirsten Dunst. It has Denise Richards. It's Ellen Barkin, Allison Janney, Kirstie Alley, Brittany Murphy, Amy Adams.
Yeah.
I think it was
like one of her first movies
for sure. And it's just like crazy how many people are in it. And somebody keeps killing these teen American princesses.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that it's Kirstie Alley. Oh, spoilers, everybody.
Alert.
Spoilers for this 26-year-old movie. And then Denise Richards ends up dying, which I really did not see happening. But it's so funny because, first of all, she's the only person in the whole movie who isn't even trying for an accent.
No.
She's like, hello, I'm Becky Lehman. And you want to know, like, was it a choice or were they just like, we want Denise Richards in this movie?
Well, that
and it doesn't
probably
matter that she can't do the accent.
She was a babe.
Yeah.
I wonder, I'm making this up in my head.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Immediately for it. I wonder if the mom in the movie was like, lose your Minnesota accent if you want to be
a teen American,
like a
princess,
actress, beauty.
It
yeah.
could be. And I'm totally fine to do that storyline.
I'm making it up right now.
She's the only one.
Yeah.
And like, because they all have these great accents, and especially Kirsten Dunst when they trick her and she's supposed to do, they're like, say the alphabet. Oh, no, the alphabet. Oh, my God. Say all the states in alphabetical order and spell them. And she's like, okay. She's like, Alabama. Alabama. And then she's like, Wisconsin. Wyoming.
They're like, yep.
They're like, all right, you nailed it. But Becky Lehman wins the contest. So she gets to be at the top of this big swan float.
Mm-hmm.
But because they cut corners and everything, her dad cut corners, that swan lights on fire. And Becky Lehman dies. And you were like, I didn't see that coming at all.
No.
And the best is Kirstie Alley.
Kirstie Alley.
It's a Kirsten Dunst and a Kirstie Alley. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. She's just going, the swan ain't my baby. It's honestly, it's so good.
Yeah.
I would watch it every day if I could find it streaming anywhere.
No.
It's, do you know, I'll actually, if I'm in places that are still selling DVDs, I look to see if I can find this anywhere. You can't find like this.
That's crazy.
Dogma's coming back now. At least we'll be able to see Dogma because they did their tour. But I just want to be able to watch Drop Dead Gorgeous.
It's such a good movie.
So
I
good.
Watched it so much.
Oh,
and I work here now.
I work here. I love it so much. I work here now. Oh, my God. John just found it on Amazon for
$15. Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm probably going to be
purchasing. Buy two on his card.
Oh,
go quick.
Two.
Quick.
Oh, that's going to be great. Yeah, one's $19.99, so we've got a deal on one. Oh, that's going to be a real good purchase at the end of the day. But then I become unbearable to be around. Anytime anybody mentions Drop Dead Gorgeous, I'm like, yeah. I'm like, okay. Oh, are we on Caps again?
You know what I think about, actually? And I'm glad I didn't tell you this until now.
What?
Because we take bar class.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do tendu close. Tendu close, plié.
Oh, we should definitely do that in bar. They like us over there. They asked us if they wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I'll be like, can I teach in a Minnesota accent?
Tendu close.
Tendu close.
They're like, probably not. Probably not.
I know. That's what it happens to me a lot. I think people think I'm like kind of charming at first, and then I turn on my real me, and they're like, oh.
We must have done that so much at work. Oh. Or I throw on another accent because someone asked me at work when we worked together where I was from. And I said, down the street.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm from Quincy.
Yeah. I was like, Quincy guy.
Oh,
I don't know me.
Yeah, I'm from Southie and Dorchester. Oh, where's this accent from? Oh, well, now
genuinely,
I'm switching.
Like, where are you from?
Now I'm turning into Bartok from the movie Anastasia. Because it's
and then
it's,
I kick her, sir.
And then I kick her, sir. Oh, the Princess Anastasia. Oh. So I switched. Oh, because it's only you can only too, stay though. In it for him. So long. I try to do other accents.
That's
and then I
idea,
go to Minnesota and then Bartok. And then I kick her, sir. So I have a feeling when we get into your movie, you're going to bring us right back down.
Right back down.
Oh, no.
I just knew. I said, I'm going to do this one, and Janice is going to have something from, like, Disney.
Close enough.
It's not that bad.
All right. Take us there.
It's a good one.
I'm ready.
Are you?
I don't know.
Jared Leto is Paul Allen in American Psycho.
Oh, that's a good one.
Thank you.
Do you know I just watched that for the first time?
I was
like
actually
six
like,
months ago.
I don't know if she's seen this movie, to be honest.
I've seen a lot of movies, but there's a lot of classics that I've missed. So I finally watched American Psycho. It's a good one.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Christian Bale's nuts.
Crazy.
He's so good. But he's super jealous of Jared's character and insecure of himself because of Paul's successes.
Isn't he really jealous of his business
card? The business card. He's getting, he can get a reservation at this certain restaurant and he couldn't. So it just becomes an obsession thing.
Yeah.
And this scene in particular is so wild.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a love-hate relationship when movies use like an actual like song from like, I know that sounds dumb, but like when Clockwork Orange uses Singing in the Rain, it's like,
oh,
messed
that's
up.
Not okay. You can't do that.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, you're going to ruin it.
Yeah.
Ruin that song. But this is so iconic. And so they go out for lunch and they have a couple drinks and then he gets them back to his place.
Yeah. I mean, Christian Bale will do that.
I mean, I wouldn't say no. So he goes back to his house for more drinks and he's drunk at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So now his apartment is lined with newspapers on the floor.
Yeah.
And he does make a comment on it. He's like, why is your apartment laid like with papers? And this whole time, Christian Bale is doing a monologue about Huey Lewis in the news.
Oh, yeah.
And he plays Hip to Be Square so loud. And he's talking about the facts and the CD and the song. And he's putting on a clear raincoat in front of him while he's talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like dancing around the apartment. And Jared Leto's just drunk and drinking his whiskey and his head's down. And Christian Bale comes up to him behind him with an axe. And he's like, hey, Paul. And Paul turns around and he whacks him in the head. And then he just kind of goes nuts.
Yeah. But it's like such good, like who would have thought Huey Lewis, like Hip to Be a Square is like, let's put this in a movie where someone is murdered.
Killing someone. It's just iconic. I feel like it's in all those like top movie scene.
For sure. And, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I came up with.
Christian Bale is so good in that.
So brilliant.
And then the movie's just wild. And then it takes.
You don't really know.
You don't know if like he's really done all of
actually
that.
Actually happened. Yeah.
Or. And I like when that happens where you're like, was it real? Was it not real?
Yeah.
You know, Drop Dead Gorgeous is like that. Did it happen?
Did it happen?
Are they really in Minnesota? Is Minnesota real?
Oh, God.
The world may never know.
You're getting deep, my friend.
Yeah. No, but I really like American Psycho is a good one.
I thought that was a good one.
You know, I don't think you really brought us down with that. I think that was,
good.
I don't think you can bring us real down if we're talking about Huey Lewis.
Christian Bale and Jared Leto.
I think we did pretty good. And that death was like, it's wild.
It's a great one.
It's a crazy
one. It is a great one. Yeah.
And it's like one of those ones where you're like, what am I watching? Yeah. How am I watching this? I know. Like, whose mind did this come from?
I don't know who actually directed that.
We should.
I didn't look that up.
We'll look it up later.
Next time.
Speaking of next time.
Hey,
thanks for hanging out with me.
Thanks for hanging out with me.
Thanks for coming over.
Anytime. Especially on recording days.
Yeah.
Till next time.
Till next time.
Check your skeletons.
Ooh.
Make sure they're not real.
And don't put them in a sequel.
Bye.
Bye.